Welcome to Rock and Roll Garage.
Well, you know, one of my favorite subjects is the music scene in the Youngstown area, especially back in the 60s and 70s. And there were some great bands that came out of the area, the Human Beings and other bands that were from the area. And everybody, of course, knows Michael Stanley Band and Donnie Iris. But I have with me now Craig Smokey Roberts. He's a former Y103, our sister station here, WSRD DJ. Played in bands in the area back in the day, and he ended up being an advertising consultant. He lives in Phoenix. He's still making music. How are you, man?
Hey, we're doing great today, Eric. Just great.
Well, man. Hey, where did you, let's start, where did you grow up back here? I don't know where you're from originally.
Well, I'm originally from Youngstown. I was born in the, you know, born Northside Hospital.
Yeah.
Start at the beginning. Grew up on the south side there near Mill Creek Park,
right.
Near Idora.
Okay.
In that area. And then in 1960, my parents moved to Warren. And so, kind of, you know, went to school in Howland. And that's where, of course, you know, talking about music.
Yep.
You know, the whole Youngstown Warren area, you know, as you know, was just really the epicenter of these garage bands.
Mm-hmm.
Just everybody was in a band because of, obviously, you know, the Beatles and everything that was going on in pop culture.
Yeah.
And my goodness, there were so many great bands that I grew up with knowing, you know, from Howlin', like the Holes in the Road, you know, with Gary McCoy, Doug Thomas, Gary Sloss. I mean, I knew these guys and you know, would listen to them every weekend.
Mm-hmm.
There was another great artist, you know, Roger Lewis, who's also from Howlin'. Originally with a band from Howlin', well, was with the Executioners and Warren, then the Jaguars, and the Poppy and RMA. You know, he used to also play with Myron Grumbacher, as you may know, was, you know, ended up being the drummer for Pat Benatar's band.
Okay.
And just a lot of good music, as, you know, as we grew up,
yeah,
you know, in the 60s, with all the venues, like at Howlin', it was the canteens on,
right,
you know, Saturday night or after the games. At the Howlin' Community Church there, and then there was Episcopal in the summer over on Atlantic Avenue in Warren, and just these bands would play, and they got better and better as the years went by doing cover songs, and it was just a great, great time to be alive and just, you know, see all this talent.
Did you go to the Idora Park shows at all? Any of those?
The where now?
The Idora Park. I guess maybe later on.
Oh.
Would have been,
oh,
you know,
oh,
mid
sure.
to late 60s,
yeah,
early 70s, there were Idora Park shows. Some of them put on by 101 and SRD, but the Hot 101
right.
days there. Did you go to those shows at the Idora Park?
Yeah, in fact, you know, as we get a little ahead of ourselves, I actually worked at WHOT as a sales rep, as you mentioned, for a number of years there. So we actually was part of, you know, some of the sponsorship of those. But, yeah, going back, certainly Idora Park played a big role in, you know, everything we did. Having lived in Warren, we didn't go to Idora Park as much, but
right.
obviously, you know, in the 70s, they're, you know, still being kind of a teen.
Yeah.
Why,
right.
I remember going to some of the shows there, you know, and even some of the local bands, of course, would play there. In fact, talking about Idora, I moved back to Boardman, moved back to Youngstown my junior and senior year. So I went to Boardman High School, and our class, I guess, graduation dance was at Idora Park, and the Human Beings played that night in the ballroom along with Mike Roncone. So that was a real double feature that night. So
that's funny.
I remember for sure.
Were you a did you grow up being a Boots Bell fan?
Well, yeah, you know, Bootsy, and you know, there was you know, Dick Thompson, George Berry, and Jerry Starr, Smoochy Causey. You know, there's some names from the old days, but
yeah,
what's interesting is, you know, as years went by, as I got into radio and then, of course, got into sales, my first real sales job in radio was at WHOT. And I got a chance to, you know, work with, you know, my heroes from the good old days, like DT. He was program director.
Dick Thompson, you say DT for the listener. Dick Thompson was a name they'll recognize, a longtime Youngstown radio guy.
Yeah, he was still program director at that time when I worked there in the late 70s and on into the 80s. George Berry was doing what we called traffic.
Yep.
He would just kind of work with the sales department, was not on the air anywhere. But, of course, Jerry Starr,
yep,
who, you know, kind of switched over to WSRD, was
yep.
there with Thomas John, you know, for a number of years. So it was great just having to be able to work with those. And, of course, A.C. McCullough,
yep.
who just, I guess, what? It was just like, is it
50th
how many
year?
Years has he been on? How many?
50 years,
was it 50?
Craig. 50 years he's been on WHOT.
Gosh.
He was in the studio here, maybe 2 or 3 years ago. I was talking to him about his career. And like you, I sold radio time here back in the late 90s and early 2000s for the Cumulus Group, which was, you know, Y103, Hot 101, K105, and all the associated AMs. But, 50 years on there in the radio is... I mean, there is no bigger Youngstown icon than A.C. McCullough at this point. He really eclipses Dick Biondi and Boots Bell, frankly.
Yeah. And then, of course, Smoke and Bill Cannon worked at HOT at that time.
Yep.
And I think eventually went over to Y103.
He did.
Of course, rest in peace for Bill.
Yep.
But, just like I said, real legends in the radio business back then, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's awesome. How did you, and we have, I should say for the listener, I have some old, if you're a fan of the 70s music scene and the radio stations back then, I have some copies of some commercials that Craig did while he was working at Y103 WYFM, and we're going to play those for you in a little bit. One of them's, my favorite is the Nelson's Ledges one, and what a great lineup. But he sent me a handful of here. Hopefully I can access them. We can listen to at least a few of them, but I'll be playing those for you in a little bit. How'd you get the, what did you go to the Sharon School of Broadcasting at the old studios there?
Well, yeah, you know, when I got out of high school, I just like most, you were either in a rock band or you went to college or you worked in the mill, right? I worked at Sheet and Tube for a couple months and got tired of that real quick. So I got a job out at Lordstown and worked there actually about 5 years. So I was a working stiff. But in the meantime, you know, we were listening to radio naturally,
yeah.
You know, and music. And, you know, over at it was WPIC-FM at that time,
sure.
Alternative station, there was a, you know, commercial that Buzz Eubanks was running for the radio school. And so I went over there, got the courage up, grabbed my mom,
yeah,
and went over and signed up for that course that I could take during the day. And I was also going to YSU at the time and working
right.
In the evening at Lordstown. So... yeah, it's kind of funny, though, that I actually, the course was actually in the evenings.
Mm-hmm.
The idea was, you know, you'd go to work during the day.
Right.
Well, I worked at night. So Buzz said, well, you can, you know, I was going to take a 30-day leave, actually, and go to the school and see
right.
if that was going to work out. And here, as it turned out, he said, no, you can come during the day. Well, as it turned out, I never actually did attend any of the classes. What I did was I would go during the day, like maybe 2 or 3 times a week, and downstairs, and you
yep.
probably know this, at the old WPIC building, and was an old studio down there, a working studio. It wasn't on the air, but had the turntables and the microphone, and put the headphones on, and you could play radio. So that's what I did. I just kind of learned myself, and then it got to the point where I got a part-time job there, and then I eventually got a full-time job at the station.
Wow.
Just kind of figuring it out on my own, you know.
Yeah, well, you know, I know you mentioned WPIC. When Lorraine Juhas left and Ralph Caldwell took over, that's when the WPIC-FM disappeared. And they called it, if I remember correctly, and Dan Messersmith has been in talking about this, the WYFM Your Alternative.
Yes.
That was the pre-Y103 name for a couple of years there, and it was a... you know, not the same format for the listener, not the same format now, which is, you know, classic rock or even what Y103 used to play, but it was more underground college type. The DJs were no longer AM DJs talking fast. They were talking slow, and there was a drug haze that was inferred in it. And, everybody was just kind of mellow, and they played album cuts and albums and did album sides and a lot of cool stuff, and I think a lot of people were upset when it left. But so were you hired in at the early Y103, or was it still WYFM Your Alternative when you came in?
It was still WPIC-FM The Alternative, and again, Ralph was there along with, you know, Vince Radivalik. Of course, Dan Messersmith was on the air.
Yep.
A gal named Holly was on during the daytime. I was going to the school at that time, so got to know everybody
yeah.
there. And what was cool about the school, too, is they would then let you, like, on an early Saturday morning when nobody was listening,
yeah.
they'd let the students actually, you know, be on the air for
oh,
a couple hours.
Oh, that's great.
They kind of take turns. So I did a little bit of that to kind of, and in fact, I remember Ralph would always be there to make sure, you know.
Right, in case you didn't screw up, right? accidentally swear on the air or something. Sure, I've done it, by the way, in that old studio. But
yeah.
Well,
but by the time I actually started, got out of the school and just another year or so went by, whatever, and finally circled back why it had changed over to Y103. And, yeah, it was a real interesting time because everybody just loved that station.
Yep.
And, of course, we could still listen to WMMS.
Mm-hmm.
There were still, of course, stations in, out of Pittsburgh, mm-hmm. WYDD and WDVE.
Sure.
But, having your own station
in
the local area and the great personalities that were there, like Vince and Ralph and Dan and Holly, it was just like family to everybody. And, the company just decided, the FM was kind of a gold mine sitting there.
Yeah.
And, the audience was then turning, too. They were turning away from AM and listening more to FM.
Yep.
One of the ones just because of the signal, right?
Yep.
It was a better high-fidelity signal with FM. And so there you go. They decided to change with the times, and maybe they were a little ahead of the times, but they certainly made it work.
Yeah.
And that's when I started working over there at that time. So it was a good time for me because they needed, some good people on the air that were going to be, not only trustworthy with the station, but obviously they were also going to be, on time, come to work and be there.
So
I learned that from working at Lordstown.
Right.
Be on time.
Yeah. Dan Messersmith, who worked with you back then, has been in a few times, and he tells about when they made the announcement, they weren't allowed to say anything to the over the air yet or tell anybody that they were going to be switching away from the year alternative format, that college station type feel of it. And Holly, the girl that you mentioned, at a Cheech and Chong concert in Youngstown, let the cat out of the bag. And they weren't supposed to tell anybody, and there was still quite a ways to go, another month to go before they were going to switch over. And she said, "Well, let me tell you some news. They're going to take away your alternatives, And everybody was booing, and it caused a big ruckus. And I find that funny, a Cheech and Chong concert. But do you have a particularly an embarrassing moment that happened on the air to you while you were here? Anything that you can remember, or something that happened that was funny or embarrassing?
Oh, boy. Other than maybe a little dead air now and then, don't tell Dan Messersmith about that.
He's probably listening.
Because he was our program director. But, we followed the format and, as much as we could, and it was a real tight kind of a top 20 format. And then the oldies were, that was real tightly restricted, too. But that's just how it was. It was a format.
Yeah.
On the flip side of that, on the weekends, in fact, it's kind of interesting how this kind of worked. I was flipping around the dial because a lot of those people left. Ralph left and Vince left. Dan ended up being program director at the new station. Holly was gone. But I'm flipping around the dial in the middle of the night, and here I find Vince Radivalik at a station over in Akron. Okay, and it was WCUE-FM, and it was alternative. The same kind of thing that they were doing, same kind of format, free form, if you want to call it, or progressive.
Right.
He was doing it over in the Akron area. And so I got a hold of him, called the station, I don't remember what, and he was actually program director. So he got me a job on the weekends down there. So I was working Y103 during the week, mostly morning drive. And then on the weekends, I would go over there and work all night, Saturday and Sunday night. It was great because then I could kind of stay in it, progressive, where, of course, you were just playing your own music, whatever you wanted.
Sure.
And we loved it because we could play not only rock and roll and just anything and combinations, but also segues. That was a big part of it, too, if you remember, Eric, where you would blend the songs together, either the artist or maybe a song would end on one particular note and you'd pick up the next song. It could be a different artist, of course, but with that same kind of note and flow to the point where you really couldn't tell where one song began and one ended. And that was that, just that musical creation that you could you could have with that type of format.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what they did in disco, how they just kind of kept the beat going.
Right.
It would flow from one song to the other.
Hmm.
That's kind of where that all started.
I kind of forgot
disco
about
so
that.
Much, but obviously progressive music.
I'm a little younger, and I forgot about that during that progressive era. I remember, you're right, that the songs would just kind of flow and they would just keep it kind of going. And yeah, that's amazing. Good stuff. Do you remember what you were paid as a DJ, Craig? I'm here, by the way, with Craig Smokey Roberts. He was a DJ at Y103 in the 70s, and even before it was Y103. What were you? Do you remember the pay as a DJ there?
Well, you know, people generally get paid by the hour. I think
right.
we were kind of on salary, but it was still kind of based on.
Yeah.
I don't remember exactly. I think it was. I think I made something like it was $350 every 2 weeks. But
okay.
you got to, you know, put the inflation calculator
yeah, sure.
to that. You
yeah.
know, that wasn't too bad for being
right.
a single guy living on the north side, right?
Yeah, that's more than
and,
I thought. That's more when you said, well, you were a morning guy too, so that you were a big wig. But that's more money than I thought you were going to say.
Yeah, it was something like that, as I remember. I haven't thought of that in a long time.
Yeah.
I had a little bit saved, obviously, because I had worked at Lordstown for so long. And again, being a single guy. So I actually had a Jeep and I had a Volkswagen. I mean, I was pretty well set up by the time I took the plunge, because I was making way more than that, you know.
Right. yeah, sure.
At Lordstown.
Yeah.
But I wanted to get into radio, and I did it, and they gave me that opportunity, and it was great. And, of course, working on the week, I do remember how much I think I made $25 a week over at WCUE.
Oh, that's funny.
Which was Q96.
Right.
So when I quit Lordstown, actually, I didn't have the full-time job yet at Y103, but I thought I was going to get it. So what I did at Lordstown is I took a 30-day leave. You could take a 30-day leave and
mm-hmm.
keep your seniority.
Mm-hmm.
So I did that, and I remember when I left. When I left Lordstown, when I that 30 days was over and I just didn't go back after about 5 years, I remember I was making $25 a week and spending most of that driving over
sure.
to Cuyahoga Falls every
gas
weekend.
Money, yeah. That's funny.
But they hired me, and, you know, the rest, as they say, is history, because I got an opportunity not only to work there, but then I started doing, you know, the nightclubs and stuff around town. We did... some teen dances. One of them there
mm-hmm.
was pretty popular there in the mid 70s was held at the American Legion Hall, right?
Sharon American Legion Hall. Yep. Here in Sharon. Right.
Yeah. And it's still there. I'm pretty sure that
yep.
building is still there.
It's a big Kwanzaa hut behind in the back. They do bingo in there now, but it was a very famous. Jerry Lee Lewis played there, and it was a big spot for bands and groups to come in through back in the 50s. And,
well, it was really popular, you know, in the mid-70s.
Yeah.
Just a couple guys got together. I don't remember their names, but it was called the Mon Al. So one of them, I think, was Monty or something. The other guy was named Al. And they just put on these dances and ran
yeah.
the hall. What was really cool is the American Legion also has a bar
yep.
like, attached to it,
sure.
right?
Yep.
It's American Legion, right?
Yep.
And so what was really cool is, you know, I could go into the bar and,
yeah.
you know, hang out with some of the parents would be in there. But what was really cool is I know he played, you know, music, dance music, but it was during the sets of the bands that played. And then every band, there, I mean, from Left End to you know, my buddies, you know, my buddy Gus and Phil Jones with Puba, Gary McCoy with MF Rattlesnake. I mean, just every popular band played
yeah.
during that year.
Do you remember Menagerie playing there, too?
You know, Menagerie had actually owned a club of their own up the street,
yep.
obviously, for over
yep.
21.
Yep.
So I don't remember them actually playing there, but I did do some dance, like at the Orange Room over in Wedgwood.
Mm-hmm.
I remember doing a couple, dances over there where Menagerie actually played, you know, and then
yeah.
I'd play again between the bands, you know.
Right.
Keep it going, right? But
wow.
you can cue this up, but... I think you have a commercial. If you have it, there was.
I'm not going to be able to get him. I'm not going to be able to get him on command here. I will have to just kind of grab him. Well, you can talk about him afterwards, but because they're still not downloaded per se.
Did you have the Mon Al Teen Club?
Hi, I'm Craig Roberts, inviting you to join me in Left End Saturday night at Mon Al Systems In Crowd Teen Club. Doors open at 7:30 and admission is just $2.50 to hear the super sound of Left End, one of the area's finest groups.
I've got no song, awesome commotion.
I'll be giving away albums to the best dancers, courtesy of White Wing Records. So join me Saturday night for the rock and sound of Left End at Mon Al's In Crowd Teen Club at the Sharon American Legion.
But I have queued up in front of me the spot that you did for the concert at Nelson's Ledges.
Okay.
You want to set that
yeah,
up
and
before?
That was, yeah, that was
1976.
This, you know, same time. This was in 1976. There was a concert out, you know, a lot of people listening are going to remember this because they were there. I mean, everybody was there.
Yeah.
It was held at Nelson Ledges Road Course out in, you know, out there near Garrett, Garrettsville.
Yep.
And they advertised quite a bit, of course, on the area stations, mostly on Y103. And I just happened to, you know, at that time I was doing a lot of the commercials for the Tomorrow Club and other, you know, the Limelighter and, of course, my own at the Teen Club. And so I had the privilege of doing these commercials, which lasted about, you know, about 40 days. They started the commercials like the end of July. And the festival was actually Labor Day weekend. And this was 1976, so it was the bicentennial year as well. So really great time. And the bands that played there, you know, were, you know, Steve Miller and ELO and Heart and Alvin Bishop, Roy Buchanan, Jay Giles.
What a lineup.
It was just a great, a great lineup of artists. And so, as you know, when you're doing commercials like this, what was kind of really interesting was that, like, early on, like, when they started the you know, the commercial schedule in August, they didn't have all these bands signed yet.
Right.
We kind of knew that ELO was coming. So what I did is I would mention the bands that they did have signed and play a little of their music and stuff and, you know, plug the the festival. But then what I did kind of subtly is I put ELO behind, you know, some of the soundtrack. to kind of tease it a little bit.
Yeah.
And then when they did sign ELO, well, then we could let it, you know, let it out. And
well,
let
I'm
everybody
a
know.
Huge,
so
huge
ELO. It just kept evolving those commercials over the next, you know, 4 or 6 weeks.
That's great stuff. I saw ELO last summer, by the way, Jeff Lynne with the new ELO in Pittsburgh, and it was a bucket list, concert for me. So, hey, listen in. This is Craig Smokey Roberts, who's with me right now. Produced this commercial at Y103 in 1976. This will take you back to the scene. Listen in.
Y103, Friendship Productions and White Wing Records present the Nelson Ledges Concert in the Country, 1976, starring the Steve Miller Band, the Electric Light Orchestra, Heart.
Try to understand. He's a magic man. Mama.
Elvin Bishop.
Do you wanna dance?
Yeah. The Jay Giles Band. Plus Roy Buchanan and Widowmaker. The date Labor Day, September 6th. The place in the open air at beautiful Nelson Ledges Road Course. Tickets are $9 each. Advance sales only at White Wing Records in Niles and Sharon. At Scorpio in Liberty and Warren. The Tomorrow Club in downtown Youngstown. And at Chess King in the Southern Park Mall. The Nelson Ledges Concert in the Country, 1976. With the best rock and roll around, September 6th at the Nelson Ledges Road Course. A presentation of Friendship Productions, White Wing Records, and Y103. Question: how do you stir up the cookiness outdoor concert of 76? Well, first you find nature's most beautiful outdoor setting, like Nelson Ledges Road Course in Nelson Ledges, Ohio. Then flavor with the biggest rock and roll around, like Steve Miller, Electric Light Orchestra, Heart, Roy Buchanan, Elvin Bishop, the Jay Giles Band, and Widowmaker. And then for good measure, add the most together sound system you ever heard. And there you have it. The Nelson Ledges Concert in the Country, 1976. The hottest happening in the state this year. On Labor Day, September 6th, at the beautiful Nelson Ledges Road Course. Tickets are $9, advance sales only, at White Wing Records in Niles and Sharon, Scorpio in Liberty and Warren, Chess King in the Southern Park Mall, and at the Tomorrow Club in downtown Youngstown. They don't come any hotter than this one. Nelson Ledges Concert in the Country, 1976. A presentation of Friendship Productions, White Wing Records, and Y103. Y103's Nelson Ledges Concert in the Country is the happening of 1976, and it'll be a free trip for 72 lucky listeners. Y103 will give away 36 pairs of tickets starting Thursday, August 26th through Sunday, August 29th. Listen closely for the signal to call with the winning phrase.
Y103 is my radio station.
And you could win 2 free tickets to hear the Steve Miller Band, ELO, Jay Giles, Heart, Roy Buchanan, and Elvin Bishop. Labor Day at the Nelson Ledges Concert in the Country. From Friendship Productions, White Wing Records, and Y103.
Oh, makes me want to clap. That's so great. Where was you know what? I'm where was White Wing Records? I don't remember. Do you remember where it was located in Sharon?
Yeah, well, White Wing was actually in Niles, and it was inside United Electronics.
Oh, yeah.
You may remember that was one of the stereo stores.
Audio stereo store,
warehouse back in the day. And
Where was it in Sharon, though, Craig?
I'm sorry, it's
one in Niles, but there it's on the ad. It said there was one in Sharon. Where was the one in Sharon? Do you remember?
Yeah, I don't remember. I think it was inside another store.
Okay.
They kind of had some low overhead. You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure. Just to piggyback on someone else's rent.
Right. So I can't remember where they were. They're in.
Okay. Yeah, I don't recognize the name. We had a few record stores around. There was a place called Records and Things up across from the Hickory Plaza there, and the Things were, of course, drug paraphernalia. That was the Things, and records and Things.
You would remember that.
Yes. Well, it was the 70s. So, all right, well, listen, more with Craig Smokey Roberts. Hey, let's do it. We're going to go out to the end of this little commercial with him talking. It's going to be my bumper music here since it's set up that way, and we're going to turn that down a little bit. Craig Roberts is going to take us out to break. More with him right after this short timeout. Don't go anywhere.
Welcome back to The Bombeck Show. For more information or to comment, like The Bombeck Show on Facebook.
I have too many things open here to have any bumper music for you here. Back in the studio here, Eric Bombeck with Craig Smokey Roberts. And at least Craig has sent me some commercials he produced in the mid-70s here. And we're going to talk about it. And then maybe we'll talk a little bit about the Tomorrow Club because that was such a great music scene and we haven't really got there yet. But Cactus, what's that ad about, Craig?
Well, this is a commercial. Again, I was... You know, very fortunate to be able to do the commercials, a lot of the commercials during those times for the Tomorrow Club, which was, of course, on Federal Plaza in downtown Youngstown. And the Tomorrow Club, as a lot of people know, was kind of on a circuit with these bands. You know, they would sign up and do maybe, Cleveland, like at the Agora on Saturday night. They'd come to Youngstown on Sunday night, and that's when mostly we had the national bands come in. So any band that was... we would say up and coming. Would play that circuit. Maybe Monday or Tuesday night they play in Pittsburgh and just keep traveling from there. So eventually, as a lot of people know, the Tomorrow Club actually changed its name to the Agora.
Right.
So it was like Agora. Want to call it Agora Light, whatever.
Yeah.
But the Tomorrow Club, as everyone knows, was actually the renovated State Theater.
Yep.
In downtown Youngstown, and the first show. That was at the State Theater. It was before it was called the Tomorrow Club. Jack Gerchuk was the promoter, and of course, a lot of people know Jack too. Jack was an area promoter, had a lot of different clubs. The Green, he managed the Freak Out. He had a place called Jack's Place out in Vienna where Joe Walsh and Ted Nugent would play.
Wow.
And then finally, he got his real act together when he tore out the seats of the State Theater and put a bar in.
Mm-hmm.
And made an Agora type program or a Fillmore in San Francisco right there in Youngstown.
Yeah.
So it was a great, great place. Had the balcony upstairs. You could really party and have a great time. The sound systems were great. And just about everybody, I sent you a list. There was a list that was published of the bands that played in that time period. But, it was every band from jazz, Billy Cobham and George Duke. There was blues, Taj Mahal, Al Cooper, the Ramones, Journey, Pure Prairie League, the Runaways, Heart, Rick Derringer, Boston.
Wow.
And I.
This was all in 1976, right, Craig? This was all. Those bands you're listing were in that year. 76 is the list. It's amazing.
Yeah. And the Tomorrow Club was around, 74, 75 primarily, really got going, 75, 76, 77, and from there, but. Like I say, just all these bands, and when I worked at Y103, again, I was able to do a lot of these commercials, this was one from August 15th of 1976 with Cactus and then a local band with Bill Scudiere. So if you want to play that, kind of give everybody an idea of what we were doing back then.
All right, this here it is.
Sundays are always something special at the Tomorrow Club on Youngstown's Federal Plaza, and this Sunday's agenda is special indeed.
Just busted up some of the greatest holiday inns in the country. Here's Cactus!
Featuring a dynamic performance by Cactus with Mike Panera. Formerly of Iron Butterfly and Blues Image. C. see Mike Panera and Cactus tonight on the Tomorrow Club stage, along with Sideshow featuring Bill Scavera. You can count on the Tomorrow Club to always attract the top national and regional bands you want to hear at the prices you can afford to pay. And admission tonight is just $2 at the door. You've been waiting all week to get it up and get it on, so climax tonight with Cactus. But you better bring your boogie shoes, because they're going to get down. I said I got myself an old lady, she don't work, she good. Hear Cactus with Mike Panera and Sideshow featuring Bill Scavera tonight at the club that always gives you more. Tomorrow on Youngstown's Federal Plaza. Be sure to see Michael Stanley and Hardship appearing August 18th at Tomorrow.
That's good stuff right there. Wow. unbelievable. You know, you and I talked about this briefly. The Taylor Kramer was a guy from Youngstown who played for Iron Butterfly as well. I did a story about it and the way it was, and it was an amazing story. Too long to go into now, but a local guy that made it big with Iron Butterfly and has an incredible backstory. I am in the process of it's going to take a second or two here, but there's a looks like another Tomorrow Club ad, maybe for is it MSB? Was that the other one you sent?
Yeah.
For Michael Stanley.
Yeah, that'd be great,
yeah,
too. Yeah, Michael Stanley played quite a bit. And, of course, a lot of the local bands, too, played, you know, from mentioned Puba before. And my buddy Steve Acker, who actually collaborated with me on some of my music that I do now.
Yeah.
He was with a great band called Law. They're, you know, based out of Warren.
Yep.
And they played regionally just all over the country with a lot of these major acts. And a lot of those bands, like Gus with Puba, played the Tomorrow Club. A lot of good music, that's for sure.
Yeah.
We had it right there in downtown Youngstown.
How about
all
it?
We had to do was just put on our boogie shoes and it was so inexpensive too. It was $2 that night if you heard that for Cactus. And
wow.
I don't think any concert I ever went to was more than about $4.
I have a friend who told me he saw the Police there for $3.
I'm sure.
Yeah. I was,
these bands were up and coming at that time, right?
Yeah.
Right, Eric? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, so this is another ad here. I'm with Craig Smokey Roberts, a former local Valley Y103 DJ. And he has sent me some spots here. And this one is, and we were always told in radio, never call it a spot. That sounds like a disease when I was selling radio. You call it a spot is what you get when
a
you have measles,
commercial.
Right? It's an ad, not a spot. So anyways, it's this is the Michael Stanley Band, produced by Craig Smokey Roberts. 76, Craig, is that when this was?
Yeah, this one was on May 2nd of 76.
Okay.
Remember it well.
All right.
Tonight, the Tomorrow Club turns over the action to Youngstown's all-new seven-piece band on the run, Rocking Horse. Enjoy one full evening of Get Down Sound with Rocking Horse, featuring former members of the Lawrence Brothers, New Zoo Review, and the Kids. It's pure sizzle. Then on Sunday night, Tomorrow presents one of the hottest recording groups going, the Michael Stanley Band, who recently released another album for Columbia Records. The Michael Stanley Band leads the pack with good, bold rhythm you've got to hear.
When the road gets too long.
And make a date for May 9th for the All-Star Concert at Tomorrow featuring Rush and the new supergroup Paris with Bob Welch, formerly of Fleetwood Mac. Get a piece of the action at Tomorrow, 213 Federal Plaza West in downtown Youngstown.
That's good stuff right there, man. So when you were doing radio, since we've broached that subject, was it mostly 45s albums? Was it when you were, or were you doing that? Was there carts by then, or what was it? What was the method at the time?
Oh yeah, at Y103, it was a combination. We'd have 45s, and a lot of times, the station would just go out and buy the album, like buy Elton John's album. You
sure.
knew you were good for at least, you know, three or four hits, right?
Right.
So saved a little money there. But then, of course, a lot of the radio stations, not so much at Y103, but for instance, over at WCUE in Akron, a lot of the record distributors would bring records by.
Yeah.
I had tons of
sure.
What they called, not for sale records. I still
yep.
have some of them.
Yep.
And you know, they would supply the radio stations because they were plugging, you know, the A&R people were plugging the music.
Yeah.
And the beautiful thing there is you got music way ahead of when it would become popular on the air. And that was what was so cool about working with the progressive stations was, you know, the DJ would just play, you know, what they wanted to.
Sure.
And format it that way under the kind of the guise of rock. But we got into jazz. We got into lots of different types of, you know, folk, pop folk, and so forth.
Right.
And then putting different sets together and whatever, but using a lot of the new music. And it was really fun because a lot of times you'd play something, and sure enough, 6 months later, that song would be a hit on the radio, you know, on AM or, in that case, at Y103. But it was definitely 45s and album cuts, that we played.
Well, you know, I worked, I sold, this was my fourth go-around here at WPIC. I worked in the late 80s and the early 90s, and then I sold in the late 90s into the 2000s. But when I was selling airtime there, we got sold. We went from Sharon Broadcasting to Connoisseur Communications to Cumulus, and they dumped that library that was in the basement. I was there one day working, and a dumpster all of a sudden was full of these old albums, and I was heartbroken. heartbroken. Because they had,
I remember.
You remember the library was
library.
Massive.
Yeah, there were, I mean, the big band and
all the way back to the 40s.
Opera and show tunes oh my goodness.
Now, having said that, there were some that were saved, believe it or not. We left that building in 2016 and there were some that were saved. And then when we left there for good in, 2016, I grabbed what I could out of the basement. There were still a couple thousand down there, and I grabbed maybe 20 or 30 of the better ones. But believe it or not, in that building is unused now and it's starting to dilapidate. There are still, and nothing any good, but still probably a good 1,045/album, old albums, their country and different things that are there. It's. But I remember when all that old stuff was thrown out the door, I was heartbroken, to be sure. I'm here with Craig Smokey Roberts. We're going to take a short break. Don't touch that dial. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back after a short timeout.
Welcome back to the Bombeck Show. For more information or to comment, like the Bombeck Show on Facebook.
Welcome back to the Bombeck Show. Since I brought up the idea of selling radio time, I know you did that for a while there too. Tell me what that was like, and was it easy to do that back in the day to sell radio time?
Well, because I had been in radio, I'd been a disc jockey and knew how to produce commercials and whatever. It was a real easy transition. And of course, I had a great teacher, Bill Glover. Most people would not know this name, but actually, Bill Glover was the sales manager at WHOT for many years. Mm-hmm. He worked directly with the owner, Bill Fleckenstein, and of course, Dick Thompson, DT, as we talked about before. But Bill kind of ran, all the promotions, like you mentioned, the Idor Park Ballroom type things, and all the contests and whatever, and was had a great sales team there.
Yeah.
And so I learned a lot from him, and of course, knowing about radio and knowing how to produce commercials, when I'd go out, I'd actually write most of the commercials that I sold.
Sure.
So it was a real easy transition for me.
Was
I loved
it,
enjoyed
it.
You know,
because it was easy to, when you went out into the community to sell it, was it an easy sell to sell Hot 101? Was it pretty popular then, or what was the response from the community?
At the time it was WKBN, which was the number one station overall, and of course they had Stereo 99 on their FM,
right?
And those were popular. And then HOT, pretty much owned it on the AM. At that time it was HOT AM, and remember they simulcast.
Yep.
AM and FM together in the morning drive for AC McCullough, but then it was WSRD, which was, again, Thomas John and Jerry Starr's little baby, as far as progressive station, the rest of the broadcast day, and then, of course, Y103. So those were the three main stations, and, it was because HOT was one of the top or the top
number station one
in the market. Yeah. I mean, everybody, knew what you were doing and who you were. And
do you remember
from that standpoint.
Remember what ads were back then and what it cost to buy a radio ad in the 70s?
It was like, I'm going to say morning drive. Because if you bought from me, I'd always give you a deal.
Sure, right.
It was something like maybe $15 for morning drive, $15 for a 30-second spot, as I remember, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if you bought a flight, flight meaning, you know, you bought maybe a long-term type deal, maybe a couple months or a little more for a week or two, a special promotion.
It's always cheaper,
right? A little less per spot, but then again, you know, you'd have more, right?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, that's an old radio trick. I have, you know, I have the archives from the WPIC FM and AM. They were kind of left behind, so I have rescued them, and I have all the old rate cards all the way back to the 30s and 40s, really. And the lots of WPIC material that eventually I'm going to get scanned in, and I will probably start a WPIC fan page and put most of that on there so that people can view it. It's kind of an overwhelming project, but I have two or three file cabinets full of stuff that I saved, and including cards. When WPIC FM first went on the air, of course, they would send out. They would say, "Send us a postcard from where you are, so we know how far our signal's going." And so, hundreds of postcards from all over the nation, as far out as Kansas, I think, where people were saying, "Hey, we heard you." Of course, the airways weren't as cluttered as they are now, but people saying, "Hey, yeah, we heard your station clear as a bell here in Toronto or in Kansas," and. Or people complaining about the announcers or saying, "We hate the Pirates, don't play the Indians," and just anything, people would say. But there are a bunch of really, really cool ones. And I have different, from one from John Glenn, an email or a telegram from John Glenn to the station owner, and just different kinds of very cool memorabilia. But
Well, radio was just, and television too, but if you worked in the business, it was so much fun because everything that went on, you know this so well, everything that went on in the community from, either the concerts or anything political, what business was going on, it all flowed through the walls of the radio stations and TV stations for that matter. And you were always in it. It was so exciting, to go to work. If you were on the air or in sales or whatever or in news, you were always like, just in the driver's seat of what was happening in the whole community, especially when you're working, obviously, for a larger station like the ones that we talked about.
Yeah.
So it was a great life. It was really, really fun and really exciting. And we made a little money, too.
Sure. Well, I always hear stories that we are moved, of course, here, but most people in the Valley at least know where the old Y103 WPIC studios were at the Pine Hollow Boulevard there. But there are, it was kind of a cool scene there. Like you said, there was a basement there that had a studio in it. And there was at one time a couch down there and a fireplace and carpeted. And it was rumored to be an incredible party spot in the 70s, especially during those alternative days. I've heard many rumors of girls showing up late at night, of course, calling the DJ and all those kind of things. But
I know nothing about any of that.
Right. Had you heard any stories? Was it similar over at HOT back in the day, or what? Because I know that was kind of not as plush, believe it or not, as the YFM building.
Oh no, it wasn't any kind of partying going on over there. That was a pretty tight ship. Over at HOT. Yeah, people came in. There was very few people after hours and stuff. Nobody mingling around or anything like that.
Right.
It was a pretty tight ship.
Well, that was never the case, even into the 80s and 90s, I think, at Y103.
Over in Akron at WCUE, Q96, was a whole different story. That's all they did was party over there.
Isn't that funny? Good stuff.
If we have time, I can tell a great story real quick.
Yeah, no, we got 5 minutes, all kinds of time.
Okay. At WCUE, I'm reading the news. My shift was on the weekend, so it was Friday night, Saturday morning, Saturday night, Sunday morning. So I went on the air about midnight, and I'm reading the news, during the night, and you're just, reading what you can or whatever. And I was reading the weather, and it said, hey, there's going to be a lunar eclipse of the moon tomorrow night. And so I'm reading this. I'm going, hey, well, let's check the weather, what it's going to be. We called it the environment. WCUE environment,
right?
Mostly light, followed by a longer period of dark. But anyway, I'm saying, hey, it looks like it might be clear tomorrow night. Maybe we'll see that. So the next night came around, and of course, the news is we're going to have this lunar eclipse. So what I did is during the lunar eclipse, I played Pink Floyd's "Dark Side of the Moon," both sides. Over at CUE, and it was just great because, as a DJ, you can put an album on, right? And if you know it's going to go all the way through, you can, take a break, go have you know, go have a coffee, whatever. Or you could go outside and watch the lunar eclipse right. of the moon. And that's what we did. So all of Eastern Ohio, mm-hmm. you know, was able to watch the lunar eclipse while listening to its soundtrack at our station.
Oh, that's great.
Brought to you by Craig Roberts. So that was a really cool event.
Yeah, that is very cool. And you're right, the big songs that you wanted to go if you had to go to the bathroom was Inagata De Vita. You know, or Stairway to Heaven. People knew that, you know, those are the songs you played. That was often.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I sometimes for the last half an hour of the show here, occasionally a couple times a year, I'll DJ just because I miss it. I used to do it Saturday mornings on PIC before we went to All Talk format for in the late 80s. It was like a 10 to 5 shift, but from 10 to noon you DJ'd. And we only had literally maybe 500 carts there and a few albums. And there was still the library downstairs, but it wasn't really accessible in there. So it was the same songs all the time. But that was my only foray into DJing, but the AM's a little different. But I certainly miss that old studio in those old days in radio.
Yeah, it was great. And of course, today now, you know, with corporately owned and so forth, there's the local DJ. You know, it so happens in some markets. Usually, every market at least has one like AC
yeah,
McCullough
right.
still doing his thing because he's so good and so popular. But a lot of it now is just syndicated. You know.
Yeah. Hey, you're still making music. What's going on there?
So just because of COVID-19, we had a little time off here in our lives. So I just spent it putting together some songs. I've always written songs since I was in high school, but never really had a chance to, you know, professionally record any of them. And I've written more since I've been out in Arizona here. So just this last year, I put together some of these songs in a studio. And we have one that's actually now been released. It's on my website. If you go to rockinaround.com, and that can be rocking around or rocking around, either way, .com. We have a video that actually Bill Sheets from Youngstown actually produced the video. So we have that song, and I've got two more that are just about getting done to be ready to release maybe the next few weeks. Blue Cafe is one of them, and the other one is Born to Be Wild. You probably never heard a title called Born to Be
right,
Wild.
Right, right, right.
This is my version of it.
Oh, cool.
And of course, we're planning on, you know, recording some more stuff, too, maybe some more acoustic stuff or whatever.
Excellent.
But, yeah, got a song completed, Rocking Around, and it's kind of interesting. There's a little backstory to it on the website.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a throwback. We're talking about the garage bands and all the great music that came out of the Youngstown, Warren area
right.
and Sharon. And this is kind of a tribute to that era. So
oh, that's cool.
There you go.
We have got about just a little over a minute left, Craig. But I saw, speaking of Born to Be Wild, I saw Steppenwolf at the Agora Theater in about 1980
oh, yeah.
or so, 81. Yep.
Well, good. Yeah,
yeah
great.
Man.
Yeah, I saw them a number of times, actually, between there and in Cincinnati, where my brother and sister live.
Yeah.
So
I don't know if you can hear the music, but we are just about out of time. We got about a minute left here. Anything else you want to say before we get out of here?
Hey, I just really appreciate the opportunity to chat a little bit about the good old days. There were some great times. A lot of these, you know, Dan Messersmith, you know, of course, was over at WYTV, and a lot of these people are still around. And
yep.
I know that your show is archived on your Facebook page, and I'll share it on mine, too. So if they didn't get a chance to, you know, listen to the live broadcast, maybe some of those fellas and gals and that we mentioned will be able to, you know,
yeah.
to listen to this and share some memories.
Hey, Craig Smokey Roberts, thanks for being on the show.
Okay, my pleasure. Thank you, Eric.
Have a great night out there. Thanks for listening. I'll be back next Wednesday evening. Have a great night.
From the Legacy Financial Strategy Studios online at leavealegacy.com. News Talk 790 WPIC, Sharon, Hermitage, Accumulus Station.